Amen. Well, we're about to hear another sermon. Tell your neighbor, another word. I don't want to use the word sermon, but another word. Oh, Reverend Alex, you're welcome. Charlie, God bless you. Oh, you won't put your hands together for Reverend Alex. If you don't put your hands together for him, he's the one who brought Bishop Ike here. Beautiful. So when you are somewhere and you see him, you know that Bishop Ike is not far away. You're so welcome. Thank you for coming. Hallelujah. Well, there's another word. There was a word that was going to be preached last night, and it got displaced because of the other. I say, you cannot go away. Hey. No. You see, when a man of God has been in the presence of God and the Lord has given him what to come and say, should he not bring awe? I said, should he not bring awe? Or you want me to release you so that you just go and eat the wache that you have been eating that is not doing anything special, or the rice and stew you have been eating, or the, it's, what has it done for you? Ask your name, what has it done for you all this time? What has it done for you? But there is a word in the mouth of a man of God, a word that the Lord has put there for this house. And you and I, we are privileged to be here to hear it. I want you to stand to your feet. This is the Bishop of the Love Economy Churches, a son of Bishop Doug, and somebody I'm privileged to call my family member. Bishop Ike, you're welcome. God bless you. The pulpit is yours. Hey, tell our neighbor, today, dear, we are here. If you are wise, remove your phone, put it in your bag or your pocket. We are here till he's done. All right. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Can you give Jesus a big shout?
Hey!
Glory, 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 glory. Hey! Hallelujah. What a blessing. How many of you like plenty food? Yes. Yeah. So the word of God is food for your soul and food for your spirit. So the more, I mean, sometimes we go forgive thyself holy and that you start preaching at, let's say, 7 a.m. And us at 12 p.m. we are still there. And then we say, before we go for lunch, let me just say this. And then before you realize, it's 3 o'clock. Hey! It's wild. Realize that you have been soaked in the word. It's a blessing. So I believe that God will help us. And God will enlighten us some more this afternoon. Hallelujah. Tell me about thank you for staying. Yes, and thank you for being around. Hallelujah. Bishop, thank you for the word. I was blessed. The little I came to hear, you know, what you said about if you want to bear fruit, then you have to keep to the laws of fruitfulness. If you don't keep the laws of fruitfulness, you will not bear fruit. It's a very powerful statement. Sometimes, like, we want to eat our cake and still have it, but it doesn't work. If you want to go along this line, there are things that you need to do to go along this line. So just keep it. I've been blessed. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Let's celebrate the anointing of God upon the servant of God. Thank you. Hallelujah. And are we not blessed to have a mother in the house? Oh, yes. Listen, you cannot have an excuse. If you're a lady here, you cannot have an excuse. And if you're a gentleman here, you don't have a single excuse. Hey, it's amazing. We are blessed to have such an anointed woman of God. I say she has over 120 horsepower. Yes, yes. Flowing on. No, she's never tired. Here, going there. Hey. Mommy, God bless you. When we grow up, we want to be like you. Oh, yes. When we grow up, we want to be like you. Hallelujah. I know some women who are her age who are not interested in these things at all. They retired a long time ago. Hey, so Charlie, it's a blessing. Mommy, we love you and we cherish you. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. And I want us to honor my father, your father, the prophet of this house. Yes. Daddy, God bless you. We love you. Thank you for going for us to go. Yeah. Charlie, I don't know if you ever had someone who you looked up to when you were in secondary school, a person was in university, and you looked up to the person that one day you will cross over to university. Did you ever have that? Yeah. In ministry, you need someone like that, someone who is ahead, who encourages you, who whose life motivates you. And you know, it's like you want to be like the person. Yeah. We are blessed to have. I've learned too much by just watching, just looking. Just, you know. Yeah. One day I think last year, I was at Amakazu. Mommy also came for a meeting. You were in a meeting. And I noticed different groups coming and going and coming and going. I said, I'm doing the same. So this year, I did the same thing. Oh, yeah. And my life has changed. This group will come for this camp. Then they'll go. Another group will come and go. Another group will come and go. I realized my ministry is working. Just by seeing that at all, I didn't meet him. I just saw that the meetings were happening like that. I said, hey. So now there are things that happen behind closed doors. God spoke to me after some months. That there are, if you don't have sex with your wife in the open.
No.
I mean, it doesn't work. It's private. But what you do in private will show up. You see that a pregnancy has come and a child has come. It's not everything you put on social media. There are a lot of things you should not put on social media. You should have intimate fellowship, intimate relationships, intimate meetings with your people. Yeah, your shepherds, it's not on social media. Yeah, that is what brings the results. Yeah, so God told me, if you don't do this thing, you can't have results. Yeah, my life changed, I tell you, just by watching. I pray that you will catch some anointing as you watch the man of God, and the wisdom of God will flow from him to you. Brothers and sisters, the whole generation that we have, that we are in now, there's no one, to be honest with you, who has ministry, wisdom for ministry, like Bishop Dad, to be honest with you. Nobody has written more on ministry than Bishop Dad. And nobody has explained the ministry as much as... There are people who are doing the ministry. They have a lot of results, but they can't explain it. They can't share their knowledge. They can't tell you the how. They can't give you the body of wisdom that they are using. But God has graced this special man of God with special wisdom to carry that what he's doing. It's like he's showing us everything. Everything. Yeah. We've started a church in Nairobi. We started a church in Monrovia. We started a church in Abuja. We started a church in Harare in a month. All that I'm saying happened within a month. And it's just because of that book, The Gifts of Government. There's a place for mission work. How to establish a mission office. You've had it, but you've never, maybe you don't need it. I need it, so I open it. Yeah, a bishop must understand how the mission office works, how this works, how that works. I mean, it's a treasure for me. When I want to understand some things, how to create things in the ministry, I just pick it and then read what I want to read. Yeah. How to have treasures, many financial flows so that many things can be done in the house of God. It's all in there. Yeah. I told you yesterday that no matter how old you are, you will not get to know what you need to know through age. If you don't read, you will never know. Receive grace to read. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Receive grace to read the right material at the right time. To the glory of God. Ladies and gentlemen, let us honor our Father once again with a big round of applause. Thank you, Daddy. God bless you for writing for us to read. Hey, look at the Crusades. Charlie, honestly, I had a very wild encounter last Sunday. It's very serious. I didn't know. I know he's great, but my respect, God showed me something that made my respect for him go to another level altogether. I realized, hey, we are blessed, yes, to learn, and we should not back down. I learned that I should not back down in ministry, you see, yeah. I should never be content with some results, like you have some numbers, so now you are okay. By the grace of God, we have more than 10,000 church members, by the grace of God. Yeah. But I'm not content. I'm seeing someone who has gone now, but he's still not. He's pushing all the time, making things happen. I realize, hey, when you push, keep pushing, God will bless you. Yeah. He's still going. Look at where he is. Solomon, 3 days journey to get to Ghana. Hey. At his age, he's moving. Charlie, it's a blessing. Not by road. Receive grace to keep working for the Lord till your last breath, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we are grateful. We are thankful for your blessing, for this great opportunity that we have. Speak to us in the next few moments we have together. Let your word proceed with grace, with love, with power. Instruct us, teach us, correct us, expose our rebellion. Help us go forward and let us see your goodness on every sea of our lives. Thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Thank you that the eyes of our understanding is enlightened practically as we hear your word, even in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Amen. You may kindly take your seats in heavenly places. So I'm sharing on the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ. All protocol observed, all men of God, thank you so much for coming. We honor you. We honor the anointing of God upon your lives. Hallelujah. The gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes we are tempted to preach all kinds of things. You see, we are tempted to preach all kinds of things. There are many things that, because of what we see happening with the congregation, you have people who have needs. Someone needs a car. Someone needs a house. Someone needs a beloved. Someone needs a husband. This morning, someone texted me because I promised that I'll introduce her to some guys. So she texted me this morning and said, "How far, Bishop? What's happening?" Hey, I tell you, she sent me a song. My beloved is the most beautiful. Then she wrote under it, "Bishop, how far?" Yeah, so you'll be moved. You'll be moved to preach about beloved, like how to find. It's important. I'm not saying those things are. They are very important. Yeah, they are very important. You'll be moved to preach about, because of the poverty that is around, you'll be moved to preach about financial engineering, securitization of future earnings, amortization, God's economic financial buoyancy system as well. We are tempted to preach all kinds of things, but there's something that Jesus preached. Jesus himself preached something. It's when Jesus died and he rose from the dead, he met with these two people who were on their way to a place called Emmaus, Cleopas and someone else. Some say they were husband and wife on their way to Emmaus. And in Luke, that's Luke chapter 24, let's read verse 25. 25 now. This is Jesus talking to them. Jesus said to them, then he said, this is Jesus' resurrection. This is the first message Jesus preached when he rose from the dead. This is Sunday morning, resurrection morning, a Sunday morning. He rose from the dead the first day of the week, and he had a meeting with these two people, and he preached to them. Now let's see what he preached to them. Then he said unto them, "O fools and slow of hearts to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" Next verse. "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets," Moses is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. All the prophets are Isaiah, Jeremiah, all the others. So all the Old Testament. The New Testament had not been written yet. So he preached, he says, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures, the things concerning who? Himself. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures, the things concerning," go back please, "the things concerning himself." So Jesus Christ preached Jesus Christ on the resurrection morning. Christ preached Christ on the resurrection morning. Jesus Christ preached Jesus Christ on the resurrection morning. What are we preaching? Jesus said, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. For they are they that speak of me." John chapter 5, verse 39. "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me." So the scriptures have one aim, and that aim is to testify or speak concerning someone called Jesus Christ. Immediately we change it, we are in trouble. The gospel Paul mentioned in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Sometimes when we see Christ, I don't know what you think about. Sometimes when we see Christ in the Bible, I honestly don't know what we think about. Sometimes it seems some people think about something else. But Christ is a person. Christ is someone. His name is Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ we are talking about. Jesus Christ, Jesus has been made both Lord and Christ. He is the Christ. So when Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, he's actually talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the meaning of gospel? Gospel means too good to be true news. There's some news that is too good to be true. It is so good that you wonder, how can this be true? You wonder, how can this be true? Is this true? Can this be true? If you've not heard the word of God, to ask yourself, can this be true? You've not heard the word of God, I tell you. Yeah. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the too good to be true news concerning someone. His name is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ preached Jesus Christ on the resurrection morning. He has sent us to preach Jesus Christ as well. So the message that God wants us to carry in our evangelistic work is about a person. His name is Jesus Christ. If you do any other thing, you are failing. It will never work. I don't know if you like my message. I've ended that. We can go home right now. Yeah. Yes. Christ preached Christ on the resurrection morning. Christ preached Christ on the resurrection morning. And the gospel is actually the good news concerning someone, Jesus Christ. Now, what about Jesus are we talking about? Let me give you more examples. Jesus mentioned that issue. Jesus preached Jesus. The apostles also preached Jesus. Yeah. Peter preached Jesus. All the apostles preached Jesus. Acts chapter 5, verse 42. Hey. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach who? Jesus Christ. They ceased not to preach and to teach Jesus Christ. Have you seen it? These guys were warned. They were in Acts chapter 5, they were all the 12 were arrested for preaching in Jesus' name. While they were in the prison, an angel came and opened the prison doors and told them, go and stand in the temple and preach and teach all the words of this life. When the Pharisees, rulers of the law, everybody came around to judge them, they told the guards to go for them. When they went, the prison doors were locked, everything was, but they were not there. And they were standing outside preaching. Then after they got them, they brought them quietly. They warned them to not preach in Jesus' name. And then they lashed all of them. Go up, you see it. Go to verse 40. Go to verse 40. And to him they agreed. And when, because they wanted to kill them, Gamaliel said that they shouldn't kill them. So they agreed that they shouldn't kill them. And when they had called the apostles, these are the apostles, the 12, and beating them, they beat them. They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. They were speaking in the name of Jesus, and they told them, don't speak in the name of Jesus again, and they let them go. Look at their reaction. Look at their reaction. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. You remember yesterday I was preaching about rejoicing. That's the reaction for sufferings, though. The reaction for sufferings is not, God, you know, you have disappointed me. I'm so shocked that since I started following you, I'm going through all these problems. One man of God said that, I wouldn't have had these problems if I was not a pastor. Hey! He was criticizing the pastoral anointing. I wouldn't have had these problems in my life if I wasn't a pastor. If I was a normal person, all these problems wouldn't have come into my life. He doesn't know he's supposed to rejoice. Nobody had beaten him. He had just had some problems. Some problems, just some one or two problems. One or two problems and he could not handle. Three or four problems and he could not handle. What are you talking about? These guys were beaten. You see, and the word beaten here means to remove the person's back. It means to take the person's back off. They flayed them. I don't know if other versions are. This one says they flogged them and sternly forbade them to speak in or about the name of Jesus and allowed them to go. And when they flogged them like that, warned them and told them to go, they went rejoicing. Look at the next verse. They went, receive grace to rejoice when you are going through problems. Yeah. Receive grace to laugh when problems are coming your way. Man, that's what makes Christianity nice. When there's no problem, it's not nice. It's well, though. When there are problems, you realize that, hey, and you should go for problems. When, you see, I know pastors who don't want to build again. Because the problems they face in building one cathedral, it was not a small thing at all. So after building that cathedral, they are in a comfortable. They will never suffer. I don't want to go through this problem again. So no matter what is going on, they are in one place. They are done with suffering. Because they know that if they should attempt to build another thing, landguards are coming. Artisans are coming. Government is coming. Problems. That's why money won't come. I've noticed that when I build, more money comes. If I do projects, more money comes. So forever and ever, I will do projects. Oh, yes. Every year, something is happening. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I'm waiting for the day when I can do 100 projects in 1 year. Yeah, that's what I'm hoping to have. Yeah, I'm not running away. Let's enjoy the problems. We say that we turn pressure into pleasure. We turn what? Pressure into pleasure. Pressure is turned into pleasure. Yeah. Nothing is keeping you awake at night. Something should keep you awake at night. Something about the ministry should keep you awake at night. Wow. They departed from the council, the prince of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Then look at the next verse 42. And daily in the same temple they were told not to preach in. Daily in the same temple they were told not to preach in. And in every house, they cease not to teach and preach. We won't stop. Whatever you want to do, you can do. So the apostles also preach Jesus Christ. Christ preached Christ. The apostles preached Christ. Acts chapter 11. Let's read verse 22. Hey, are you understanding my message? Let's read from verse 11. From verse 19, sorry. Acts 11, 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none other, none but unto the Jews only. You know Jesus is the word, right? Now, next verse. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching what? Preaching what? The Lord Jesus. So they were preaching Jesus. Don't get it twisted. Tell your neighbor, preach Jesus. On your evangelistic work, preach Jesus. Yeah. On your Sunday work, preach Jesus. Hey. Now the question is, what about Jesus? Isn't it? That's the $1 million question. That's why we're having the meeting. So I'm going to show you what about Jesus you preach. I'm going to show you very soon. Yeah. Let's look at more. Philip preached Christ. Philip went to preach Christ in Acts chapter 8. Yes. Acts 8. Then Philip went down, verse 5, to the city of Samaria and preached who? He preached Jesus Christ unto them. That's all. He preached Jesus Christ unto them. And then he had results. Okay? Paul preached Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 and 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Next verse. For I determined not to know anything. I don't want to know about business principles. I don't want to know about marital principles. I determined not to know anything among you. Do you understand anything? Anything is anything. Except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I decided to not know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Why is Paul saying that I don't want to talk about any other thing but Jesus Christ and him crucified? You see, because Christ is the subject for everything. There's nothing you talk about. How can you talk about marriage without talking about Jesus Christ? Marriage is a reflection of Jesus Christ and his relationship with the church. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. How can you talk about marriage without talking about Jesus? It's not possible. You will definitely talk about Jesus. How can you talk about business without talking about Jesus? Who has more business principles than Jesus Christ? Peter had taught day and night and couldn't get anything to catch. Do you remember that story? They were struggling in their business. Jesus appears and says, let your nets down to the right side. What's the difference between the right side and the left side? What's the difference? It is the voice of the Lord that makes businesses flourish. How can you preach about business and not talk about Jesus? Every business needs Jesus. Every business needs Jesus. Every business needs Jesus. How can your business flourish without spending time with Jesus Christ? Jesus will give you ideas. I tell you, how can the church flourish without Jesus Christ? The one who took 5 loaves and 2 fishes and fed 5,000 people. When you receive small offering, every church's offering is small. Every church. It's a shock we are able to do the things we are able to do as churches. You should see people's offerings. You will be shocked. Do you remember, ask your neighbor, do you remember your offerings? The data we buy is more, it's normally more than the offerings we give. The data to call you, that will, it's more, far more than the offerings. Is it true or is it not true? Plus you divide the tithe, you see, someone was giving his offerings, first fruits, seeds, partnership, everything as 10% of his income. Do you understand? The 10% of his income, it covers all. That's for the Lord. And tithe is inside, offering is inside, first fruits is inside, everything, partnership, everything is inside the 10%. Wicked guy. Hey! So the church cannot work if we don't involve Jesus Christ. When we receive offerings, we must bless it. Like Jesus, we must hand it over to Jesus. The little boy's lunch could not do much. He handed it to Jesus. When he gave it to Jesus, in Jesus' hands, it multiplied. So there's a multiplied effect that the offerings can have. When you learn to hand it over to Jesus, when the offerings come, Lord, we hand it over to you. Show us what to do with it. Let it multiply. Let it do more than it can do. You'll be surprised. You'll be shocked. There's nothing you can talk about without talking about Jesus. Because Jesus is the substance of life. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. I don't know if you like my message. Hey, I'm preaching about Jesus Christ and him crucified. Yeah. It says Jesus, he's talking about Jesus. Maybe you should read from verse 12 so that we can know it's Jesus he's talking about. He says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet with partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Who is the dear Son? Jesus Christ. In whom, then he says, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Then he says, and Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. He predates all. Eh? He predates. This doesn't mean that he was created before all creation. It means that he was there before all creation. And he's the one through whom all creation came. Look at the next verse. Then it says, for by him were all things created. Everything you can know, you can see around you, was created. This one says by him. The ASV says, for in him were all things created. In Christ. Do you have ASV now? You showed us. Yeah. For in him. Have you seen it? In him, in Christ, in Jesus, were all things created. In the heavens and upon the earth. In other words, Jesus is the place of creation. In him, he is the place of creation. It is in him that creation came into being. Hallelujah. Everything you can think about. Money, wigs, cars, everything. How can you talk about these things without talking about the one in whom all these things were created? It's not possible. He is the place of creation. Then he says, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things have been created through him. He's the means of creation. And unto him, he is the reason for all creation. He is the place, he's the means, he's the reason. I don't know if you... This Jesus, we cannot leave Jesus and talk about nonsense. Yeah. You cannot leave Jesus. Everything, every material thing you can talk about, every spiritual thing you can talk about comes from Jesus. There's nothing else. So the apostles could not preach any other thing but Jesus. Look at the next verse. And he is before all things. Have you seen it? He has the preeminence. And in him, all things consist. The marriage will work when Jesus is the center. The business will work when Jesus is the center. If you make Jesus the center. Your children will work if you make Jesus their center. The church will work if Jesus is the center. He says, all things, by him, all things consist, persist, and exist. Everything exists and is around because of him. If you keep him at the center, everything will work well. Wow. Yes. He upholds all things by the word of his power. Everything in this life is upheld because of him. So let's preach Jesus Christ. Tell anybody, let's preach Jesus Christ. I'm going to show you. I'm showing you more. So Paul said that, listen. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. But if our gospel is hidden, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the gospel, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of who? Of Jesus Christ. The light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the glorious gospel concerning Jesus Christ. Who is the image of God to shine unto them? Verse 5. Then it says, for we preach not ourselves. We preach not ourselves. There are preachers who preach themselves. They are all over now. I fasted 40 days and I saw this. I did this and I prayed for 71 days and fasted for 70 days. And then the angel came to touch my head. That I'm one of the only few prophets of our time. We preach not ourselves. Stop preaching yourself. They are all over now. They are preaching themselves in a very nice way. Yeah. And people want to be like them, not be like Jesus. They want to have the encounter they had with God. Hey. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. We preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. Please, are you seeing it? Paul lays a double curse on anyone who preaches something else apart from Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. He lays double curse. If you preach something else, you're in trouble. That's why some people's churches are not working, because they are preaching other things. So they are suffering. If you preach Jesus Christ and him crucified, look at our prophet, for instance, our daddy, for instance. He's just preaching simple, just come to Jesus. The blood of Jesus will wash you clean. Your sins will be forgiven. God is blessing. You think it's a joke? Yeah, all those who are preaching about financial securitization, it's not working. They are preaching about money, they are not getting the money. I've seen it. I said, hey, how can this guy be preaching about money and he doesn't have money? I was moved. I was like, man, let me preach Jesus and be saved. Yeah. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you. Look at this. I marvel that you are so removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ, the one who called you into the grace of Christ, unto another gospel. Next verse. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. Can we put verse 6 and verse 7 together? Verse 6 and verse 7 together. Look at this. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. So the gospel of Christ is the grace of Christ. I don't know if you get it. Let me show it to you well. Into the grace of Christ, unto another gospel, which is not another, but there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. He should have continued to say the grace of Christ. So he has changed the word gospel with grace. I don't know if you get it. So the grace of Christ is the same as the gospel of Christ. So you cannot preach the gospel of Christ without preaching the grace of Christ. Because the gospel of Christ is the grace of Christ. Are you seeing it? The gospel of Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is the grace of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the expression of God's grace. You cannot preach Jesus without preaching grace. Because the grace of God is Jesus Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the embodiment of grace. What is grace? Grace is man at rest, God at work. That's grace. Man at work, God at rest. Man at rest, God at work. And Jesus is the expression of God's grace. He's the one. John chapter 1, verse 14. Look at John 1, verse 14. Hey, I'm preaching. And the word was made flesh. I'm preaching. And the word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Full of what? Grace and truth. So Jesus, who is the word of God, when the word of God put on flesh, he was given a name called Jesus Christ. And that Jesus Christ is full of something. He's full of something called grace, and he's full of something called truth. Out of him you cannot find reality. Reality of life is not, it doesn't work without him. Nothing works without Jesus. Everything is nonsense without Jesus. I tell you, is it money? It's complete nonsense. You will get it. You will be surprised that it will not still not satisfy. You will get the money. You will still not be satisfied. Yeah. You think it's sex. Sex doesn't satisfy. That's why people have had sex with plenty of people. Still, they keep going. Body count. They are on an adventure that will never end. They are on a wild goose chase to catch a goose that will never be caught. You think it's being in a certain hotel, spending time in a... Life is not life without Jesus. He is the reality. In him, all reality finds its place. In him was life, and the life is the light of men. Without him, there's nothing. Hey! I tell you. So Jesus, you cannot preach the gospel of Jesus Christ without preaching the grace of Jesus Christ. Now, so what is it? What is it that you tell people on first contact? Because we're talking about evangelism. This is an evangelism conference. So when you meet people, what do you say? Let's examine what Jesus said to preach. Jesus himself said, preach this about me. He said it. He said it. Luke chapter 24. I want to show it to you. Luke chapter 24, verse 44. Wow. This is Jesus. Jesus said unto them, these are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. So the prophets, the law, everything speaks concerning someone. That's why you should never read your Bible with someone else in mind or looking for something else. Don't try to be like Elijah, please. I'm going home. Jesus said, yeah, someone, people are trying to be like Elijah. He told them categorically, don't be like Elijah. Okay. Maybe you've never heard it before. These guys were trying to bring down fire upon the whole village and kill everybody. James and John, the sons of thunder. Jesus was going to Jerusalem, was passing through Samaria, needed to spend the night in Samaria. And the Samaritans would not give him, a village in Samaria would not give him a place because they knew that he was not coming to them. So they said, we'll not give you a place. That's when someone asked Jesus, I will follow you. And Jesus said, listen, foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Jesus was not saying he was poor. Jesus was rich. He was not poor. Someone who can multiply bread for many, you think he's poor. He was not poor at all. But at that moment, he had no place to stay. Then this guy said, let us call down fire. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, these guys were hot-blooded guys. Yeah, hot-blooded guys. They are called Bonigas or Bonigas, which means sons of thunder, very boisterous guys. Yeah, these guys. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, this is Luke 9:54. Will that thou we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah did? Do you want us to command fire to come down to consume all of them, even as Elijah did? Look at Jesus' response. Can we read it together? One, two, go. All of us want to be like Elijah today. These guys wanted to be like Elijah, and Jesus rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit ye are of. You want to kill people with fire from heaven. If I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven. I'm not the one saying it is in the Bible. Let's read the Bible and just, it's there. Show me your verses. Why are your verses? Why are your verses that you are using to call down fire? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit ye are of. Next verse. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives. Jesus does not destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went into another village. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save the lost, not to destroy the lost. We are not to be like Elijah, we are to be like Jesus. The one who forgives at the height of pain. The one who forgives at the height of pain when people are piercing him and nailing him to the cross and beating him, he forgives. Ish. I feel like I am preaching. I can feel it. I'm preaching. Yeah? The one who forgives is the greatest now. Not Elijah. I'm wondering why I mentioned this. The message. What did Jesus preach? Luke chapter 24. And he said unto them, these things, these are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which you are reading in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Everything is written concerning Jesus. When you're reading the Bible, look for Jesus. Don't look for any other person. Next verse. Then open he the understanding that he might understand the scriptures. Verse 46. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day. All this had happened. He says, it is written. Go back, please. It is written, and thus it behoved Christ. Do you have NLT? Let's read NLT. Behoved. We don't understand. What is behoved? Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Yes, 46. And he said, yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. As he was speaking, it had happened. Next verse. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. What is the message? There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. What is the message? There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. So what's the message which you preach to people when we meet them? There is forgiveness of sins for you when you repent. I don't think you are impressed with what I'm saying. So preaching fire and brimstone out there will not work. There is forgiveness of sins. This it says, and it was written that this message will be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. What is the message? There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. So the message, the initial message is forgiveness of sins. Why? Because of what Jesus came to do. Listen, Jesus didn't die for nothing. Jesus died for a reason. Jesus died to remove sin and sins. What did I say? To remove sin and sins. And that is what he wants us to preach to everybody. I've removed sins. It's called the good news. The too good to be true news of Jesus Christ. What is the too good to be true news? The first aspect is that, listen, there is forgiveness of sins. Repent. There is forgiveness of sins for you. You don't need to go to hell. Someone has gone there for you. Who will not respond to this message if you tell them like this? Who will not receive it? And you see, our problem is that we don't believe that Jesus has... We who are in the church, we don't believe that our sins have been removed because of all the issues we have. So we don't believe it. So we can't preach it. We still feel sinful because of the things we see around us. So we don't... Listen, when Jesus died, where were you? Where were you when Jesus died? Where were you? Were you there when Jesus died? It means that when Jesus died, all your sins were in the future. You were in the future, all your sins were in the future. Isn't it? I'm going home.
You are blessing us.
I should stay. Is it true that all your sins, you and your sins were all in the future? You agree? Even your grandfather was in the future. So is it safe for me to tell you that all your sins in the future have been forgiven? Is it safe if I say that? Is it safe if I say that? Or it's not safe? So why are you worried? Why are you letting sin become a problem for your life? He says, if we sin and we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive. And actually, he forgave you a long time ago. He's not now looking at what you have done and then he's like, this boy, what you have done. Michael, we cannot bear this one. This boy has shocked us. Gabriel, see what this boy has done. He has shocked us. We cannot bear. So remove him. There's nothing like that. We don't believe it. We don't believe it. So it's like, oh. You don't believe it. Let me prove it. Let me show you more scriptures. Can I show it to you? Please take your seat for 2 minutes. I tell you, he's wiped everything away. What did Jesus, why did Jesus come? Why did he come? Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10. Let's read Isaiah. Let's pick it from the Old Testament and we'll come to the New Testament. Isaiah 53 from verse 10. It says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He's talking about Jesus. He says, God was happy to bruise him. God was happy to bruise Jesus Christ. To squash him. Why? Because Jesus was a representative of our sin. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, he had become sin. You see, Paul, who is a man of the law, a man who is into, you know, the law. He was into law and grace and all of that. Said something about Jesus in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Look at 2 Corinthians 5, and then we'll come back to this. 2 Corinthians 5, verse, what did I say? 21. Look at this. He says, for he has made Jesus to be sin. Jesus was made sin for us. Who knew no sin? Jesus was made sin. He became the very embodiment of our sin. It's called substitution. He took our place. And our sin, because you see, the wages of sin is what? All of us should be dead by now. And it's not, I'm not talking about physical death. I'm talking about eternal death. The spiritual death. Adam was told that in the day that you shall eat this fruit, you shall die. When he ate, he didn't die. He was there. He died at 9:30. 9:30 p.m. He died at 9:30. 930 years. Then he died. He didn't die physically when he sinned. He died spiritually. Then later on, he died physically. Then, if you die physically without being brought back to life, you die eternally. And that's the death that we have, physical, spiritual, physical, eternal. Or we are to die. For the wages of anyone who sins must die. What you did yesterday or this morning, you are to die for it. No matter how small it is, whether bad thought, bad whatever, you are supposed to be up. God should do this. And then you are out. Michael. And then you are gone. Finish him. How come you are still here? It's because of what Jesus did. That's why you are still sitting here happily. So Paul, a man of knowledge and law and whatever, says that Jesus knew. The one who knew no sin, he had no knowledge of sin, was made sin. Then John, who is a man of the heart, talks about Jesus in 1 John chapter 3, verse 5. Look at 1 John 3, 5. Ah, it's so nice. He says, and you know that Jesus was manifested to take our sins. And in him is no sin. Jesus had no sin in him. He knew no sin. He had no sin. Then Peter, who look at Peter's own. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. No, verse 20. 1 Peter 2, 22 is fine. He says, Peter was a man of works, doing. He says, Jesus did no sin. The one who knew no sin, in him was no sin, and did no sin, was made sin by God. It's called the righteousness of God. God was just to make Jesus sin. Jesus took our sin. That's the reason why Jesus came. Jesus came to come and deal with something called sin. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin. Romans chapter 8. Am I preaching too fast? Romans chapter 8, verse 3. Hey. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin. Sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus came to deal with sin. That's why he came. The one who knew no sin, did no sin, in him was no sin, was made sin so that he can take away sin. Why did Jesus come? Jesus came to deal with sin. Has Jesus come?
Yes.
Has Jesus left?
Yes.
Why are you still dealing with sin? It's because we don't believe it. That's why we are still dealing with it. We don't believe that it's been taken away. We feel that it's there. Hey! But Pastor, I've been doing some wrong things. Yes, it's true. When you grow up, you stop. When you grow up, you stop. The problem is with growth. We are not growing as we are supposed to. As you grow, I mean, there are a lot of things that will follow. When a child is born, he poops on himself, makes a lot of mistakes, tries to walk, and then he falls here and there. But there's a time coming when he will not. I mean, when was the last time you fell? As an adult, when was the last time you fell, like, as you are going, You were walking in your room and then you fell, blam. Or you're trying to walk, you couldn't walk, blam, you fell. Do you have that? You fall when you are not looking where you are supposed to go. If you are looking away from where you are supposed to go, you just fall. So we have a problem with sin because we are not looking where we are supposed to go. We are looking away. We are not looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We are looking at other things. That's why we are having problems. That's the reason. If you stay in the spirit, it says, walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You walk in the spirit, you don't have any of these problems that someone is having, this one, he can't forgive, he's having anger issues, he's sleeping around, he's doing it. You can't have that. Yeah. What you pay attention to is what you become. Sin is not an issue of mastery. Who will be your master? Will Christ be your master or sin be your master? But as to whether sin has been dealt with. You have, it says, oh, sin shall not have dominion over us because we are not under the law but under grace. Sin cannot have dominion over you. You now have mastery over sin. But because you don't know, sin will have control. Yes, I mean, it's been dealt with. That's what Jesus came for. Isaiah 53, verse 10 once again. I'm hoping to make it work for you. Is it working small? It's working. Okay. He says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. Why? Jesus became sin. He was made sin. Who knew no sin? He has put him to grief. Jesus was put to grief. Let's read NLT. Something lighter. We don't understand. Grief. Bruise. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. He crushed him in your place so that you will not be crushed. You should have been crushed, but you were not crushed. He was crushed. It's called the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is God working and you resting. He took your place of sin and was crushed, was put to grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, his life was the offering for sin. The Hebrew word is asham, the guilty offering. That's guilt offering. He's the guilt offering. He was given as the guilt, your guilt. All your guilt was put on Jesus Christ. Hey, what a Jesus. If you don't know Jesus and you don't know who he is, you will not. Your love for him will be weak. He says, we love him because he first loved us. Our love for him is dependent on our knowledge of his love for us. The more we know how much he has loved us and what he has done for us, the more we love him. A lot of us don't love him because we don't know what he has done for us. Even your guilt, he died for it. Your guilt. Have you felt guilty before? If you feel guilty, remember that your guilt was put on someone to die for you. His name is Jesus Christ. It was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. Because he was made an offering for sin, Jesus will have many descendants. God will have many descendants, which is you and I, children of God. He will enjoy a long life and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. Next verse. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, Jesus went through anguish and God saw it. He says, God will be satisfied. So God is not angry with you and I anymore because Jesus took the pain and the punishment on the cross. Just imagine if you are preaching this to people. Wouldn't they be saved? They will be saved. Jesus took your place of death, of punishment. You deserve to die. You cannot wipe away sin. Sin cannot be cleaned. Sin must be paid. The wages, the payment of sin is death. Everybody must die. But guess what? Someone took your place. God sent himself. God came himself as a man and took your place and died for your sins, was punished for your punishment, went to hell on your behalf. Will you accept him? They will accept him. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous. That's you and I. Because of Jesus Christ, all of us can be now counted righteous. For he will bear, look at this, for he will what? He will bear all. All, not some. All their sins. We don't believe it. You think Jesus has borne some and has left some for us? He has taken the root of sin, but the fruit there is there. No, he took the root, the tree, and the fruit away. Next verse, verse 12. I will give him the honors of a victorious soldier because he exposed himself to death. He was counted among the rebels. He bore the sins of many and interceded for rebels. He bore the sins of many. He bore all our sins. Jesus was delivered for a purpose. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. Jesus was delivered. Jesus was given for a purpose to take away sin. He was handed over to die because of what? Hello, are you here? Can you read it with me? He was handed over to die because of? Why did Jesus die? What is your problem? Has Jesus died? So why do you still have problems with sin? He was handed over to die because of our sins. And he was raised to life to make us right with God. That's what we believe in to be born again. We believe in his death. We believe in his resurrection. His death was the purpose of taking away your sins. His resurrection was the purpose of making you righteous. So Jesus says that the forgiveness of sins will be preached. You remember? Luke 24. Do you remember? Or you forgot it? Luke 24, verse 40, 43, I believe, 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I speak unto you. Verse 40, 44, 45. Then open at 46. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus behold, Christ should suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached. We don't understand the remission of sins. Let's read NLT. It was written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. Why? Because sins have been taken care of. Jesus was given, was submitted on the because of our sins. He died because of our sins. He was made sin. Who knew no sin? As he hung on the cross, he was sin embodied in flesh. Jesus said, a body has thou made for me. Jesus contained sin in his flesh. His body was made as a special container that can take sin. Are you seeing it? Jesus didn't have sin in his spirit, though. Sin did not enter Jesus' spirit. His body. Every scripture you read, it has to do with his flesh. Jesus had a body that could contain sin. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. I'm sorry for quoting too many scriptures. When I grow up, when I turn 92, I'll use 5 scriptures to preach. But until I turn 92, when you see me, see you will know a lot of scriptures. Look at, can you read this to me? One, two, go. He personally, not he didn't hand it over to somebody. He personally carried our sins where? In his body on the cross. So as Jesus was hanging on the cross, he was carrying our sin. So sin has been dealt with. 1 John chapter 3, verse 5. I read it to you, but I didn't show you the other side. He says, you know that Jesus was manifested to take away what? That's the reason why he was manifested. He was manifested to take away our sins. He was manifested to take away our sins. So sins have been taken away. And that's what we announce. Hello! Too good to be true news. Hello! All your sins have been taken care of. Someone called Jesus has come to take care of it. You don't need to go to hell. You don't need to feel bad. You don't need to be depressed. You don't need to be sick. Sin removed means sickness removed. Sin removed, because it's a sin that causes sickness. The man who was impotent in his speech, when he was dropped before him, he told him, your sins are forgiven you. And then the Pharisees were, hey, who is this guy who forgives sins? Then Jesus said that, listen, which one is better to say? To say that his sins are forgiven, or he should rise up and take up his bed? Sin is what causes sickness. So sin removed means sickness removed. The man who was impotent in his speech for 38 years, when Jesus saw him, he told him, rise up from your bed. He rose up and he told them, go and sin no more, lest something greater comes. Because his sin is what put him in that state. Sin causes sickness, and sickness is a child of sin. So when sin is removed, sickness can be removed. That's why at crusades, you can have healing very easily. Because when the people understand that, hey, sin has been removed, it means that sickness is gone. It's a two-in-one thing. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Receive healing for yourself. No matter what sickness is in your body, it doesn't matter. Remember, your sins have been forgiven. Because your sins have been forgiven, sickness has been taken away. Receive healing now in Jesus' name. You receive healing from cancer, from pain, from challenges. Sometimes you do something wrong and you feel like, this is the punishment I'm receiving because of what I did. No, the punishment was put on Jesus. You don't. It's a lie. You don't need to have that punishment. It was put on Jesus. It was put on Jesus. Why are you suffering for nothing? Don't stop suffering. Stop suffering. Hallelujah. Sit down for 2 minutes. Jesus personally carried our sins. Jesus was manifested. 1 John 3, verse 5. He was manifested. And you know that he was manifested. Let's read NLT. It's nice. And you know that Jesus came to take our sins. This is what he came for. He came for this. When John saw Jesus, in John chapter 1, verse 39, when he saw Jesus, is it 34? John 1, 34. 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and he said, look, the Lamb of God, who does what? Who takes away the sin of the world? That is why he came. He came to take away the sin of the world. So what is the good news concerning Jesus Christ? Hello, someone called Jesus came to take away your sin. You don't need to go to hell. Heaven is yours. It's called reconciliation between God and man. God is not angry with you anymore because he put his anger on someone called Jesus. Jesus took his anger. Now there's peace between you and God. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. The one who forgives sins, the one who heals the sick, and the one who prospers is calling you. What do you have to lose? You have nothing to lose. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you see people rushing to come and give their life to Christ. Rushing to come and give people their life to Christ. Yeah. What I'm saying is what was preached. Let me show you that and then I'll close. What I'm telling you now is what was preached by Peter, what was preached by Paul, and what was preached by all the apostles. So let me prove it to you in the scriptures. Can I prove it to you? Okay, let's start with the first message that was ever preached when the Holy Spirit came, Acts chapter 2. I wish we could read everything. Should we read everything? Do we have time? Okay, then let me see where we can pick it up from. We are reading everything here. Okay. You let's read from verse 29. It will be good from verse 29. So that we don't go too deep. Do you love Jesus? See, I love Jesus. Who can take away your sin? Who? What can wash away your sin? Only Jesus. That's why I worship him. Because I know my problems. Do you know your problems?
I know.
Hey, do you know your problems? Have you done something wrong before?
Hey.
Look at how you broke the girl's heart. No, Charlie, you are a very bad person. But look at you, you are not dead. The girl cursed you, but it still didn't work. Let me notice that it didn't work. It didn't work because of the grace of Jesus Christ. Look at the money you stole from that man and how he suffered. There are those who say that, I'm not into these things. But look at your bad thoughts. Look at your thoughts. Jesus said that when you think, you have done. That's the principle. When you think, you have done. You strip a woman naked with your mind, you have done it. You have what? You have done it. So never say that, I don't have all those problems. I didn't steal. I don't have stealing. Do you have thoughts coming to you? Yeah. Jesus died for prostitutes. He died for fraud guys. You know the prostitute I'm talking about? Mary, prostitute. She had so many things. She was saved. The woman who had multiple husbands, John chapter 4, Jesus met her, brought salvation to her. All bad girls are saved by Jesus Christ. If you know a bad girl, Jesus' blood is for that bad girl. If you know a fraudster, Zacchaeus was a fraudster. 419 guy. He was a scammer. Serious scammer. Salvation came to him. Jesus also died for the good guys. Those who are good, they're just like, I've not done anything. Lazarus, there was no problem with Lazarus. Lazarus, the guy who died. There was no problem, but he died. Jesus brought him back. Salvation came to him. Are you seeing it? Yeah. Nathaniel, good guy. Jesus confirmed and said that a Jew in whom there's no guile. There's no problem. You don't have any problem. You were a very good guy, but you still need salvation.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody. Because of what Adam did, everyone is affected. And everybody needs the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. Let me show you the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That's what we should preach on. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 12, I believe. I hope I'm saying it right. No, go down. Go down to verse 17. For as much as you know. Verse 18. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. Gold and silver could not have paid. Next verse. It was the precious blood of Christ. Man, no ho shaky. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. The sinless, spotless Lamb of God. That was the value of our sin. The blood of Jesus. Next verse. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began. But now in these last days, he has been revealed for your sake. The pressure. You were not redeemed. The King James says it nicely. It says you were not redeemed. Go to King James. Verse 18. King James. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Jesus knew no sin, he did no sin, and in him was no sin. Yet he was punished for sin so that you and I will be free. He took our place. That's why I will worship him forever. I will worship him forever, love him forever, because this God is too good. I will worship him forever. Look too fast to see how good he is. Just look at me. He took me from the miry clay, set my feet upon the rock. Now I'm standing in his righteousness. Oh, what a Jesus. How can you say you don't have anything to worship God for? Never let testimonies be the reason for your worship. If testimony is the reason for your worship, like God did something for you, you got a car, then you worship God. Oh, thank you for the car. You are fake. The day the car doesn't come, you will not worship God. Don't let testimony like marriage and children and this be the reason. Let salvation and redemption be the reason for your worship and your thanksgiving. There's a precious blood that is higher than corruptible things, that is higher than gold and silver, that is higher than anything that you should be grateful to God for all the time. If you let that be the fulcrum around which your worship revolves, you always have a reason to worship. You will never have it. You will never say, I don't have this, why I can't. No! He died. Someone died. Someone died because of you. And guess what? If you are the only one here on earth, you would still have come to die. That's how important you are. That's how special you are. That's how much God loves you. You will love him when you know how much he has loved you. Our love for him is based on our knowledge of how much he has loved us. The precious blood of Jesus. The precious blood of Jesus. Revelation chapter 1 verse 5. Look at Revelation 1 5. And from Jesus, who is a faithful witness, what he says he means, when he says it, he means it. And the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He loved you and I so much, he washed us from our sins in his own blood. He took his blood and washed you and I from our sins. Why would we not be grateful? Why would we not be grateful? And why would we not announce to others that, listen, you don't need to go to hell. We watch on for people to go to hell free of charge. When we have the message, we have the name of Christ. We don't see much because we don't understand. We are not grateful because we don't know what has happened. He has removed our sins and he has made us his righteousness. That's what he has done. That's what he did. He says remission, forgiveness of sins, removal of sins should be preached. It should be preached to all the nations. That is what should be preached to all the nations. Let me show you. Acts chapter 2. We're reading, right? Acts 2 verse 29. I'm closing. Dear brothers, think about this. You can be sure that David, that the preacher David wasn't referring to himself, for he died and was buried, and his tomb is still here among us. But he was a prophet, and he knew God had promised with an oath that one of David's own descendants would sit on his throne. Peter is preaching his first message. These are the things he's saying. David was looking into the future and speaking of the Messiah's resurrection. He was saying that God would not leave him, the Messiah, among the dead or allow his body to rot in the grave. God raised Jesus. They preached Jesus. Have you seen it? God raised Jesus from the dead. What did they preach? They preached the resurrection from the dead. And we are all his witness. All witness of this. Now he is exalted to the place of the highest honor in heaven, at God's right hand. And the Father, as he had promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you see and hear today. For David himself never ascended to heaven. Yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit in the place of honor at my right hand. Verse 35. Until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet. So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. The King James says, both Lord and Christ. Jesus has been made Lord, owner of all. Jesus was owner of all before. Remember, he is the one. Listen, the reason why Jesus is precious, is because he's the member of the Godhead who humbled himself, who lost his lordship because of salvation, and came to accomplish the purpose of salvation. Went low, the Bible says that he became a human being. And when he became a human being, he humbled himself and became a servant. And when he became a servant, he humbled himself and died the most shameful of all deaths. Because of that, God has also highly exalted him. Jesus is the member of the Godhead who became a human being, humbled himself, died the most shameful of deaths to accomplish the purpose of the Godhead, which is salvation, so that he can be exalted. So Jesus is a human being. Listen, Jesus is what? A human being who has been exalted to the status of God because of salvation, because of what he did. So Jesus is a man in heaven who is God in heaven. He's a God who lost his godhood, picked the garment of a man, came a man, and accomplished the purpose of salvation, and has now been exalted as man to the status of God. That's the Jesus we are talking about. That's the precious Jesus we are talking about. There's none like him. There's none like him. He's the one all of heaven responds to. Yeah. It's greater than all. And he's the Jesus who's sitting inside you. What can't I do? That's the question. Where can't I go? What can't I become with this Jesus in me? I will be able to humble myself because he's in me, humbling me, helping me to humble myself. I can do what God wants me to do because he's in me. Yeah. What a Jesus. So let's preach Jesus. What do you think? There's nothing else to preach. There's nothing else to preach. Paul said, I have determined to know nothing amongst you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. His cross, his person, Jesus Christ the person, and his work, the cross. What he did, what he came to do. His cross took away sin and brought righteousness. Took away sin. So Peter is preaching, and then he says, listen, let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Next verse. Peter replied, can you read this to me? One to go. Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repentance and forgiveness of sins must be preached. Now, what is repentance? Repentance is change of mind. Changing your mind. Metanoia. That's what it means. Change your mind. Turning away from what you were before. Do you see? he's telling the Jews that they should change their mind about how sin, because sin was being dealt with in the Old Testament in another way. They were covering it. They would sacrifice and then they'll cover every year. That's how they were. So it's not that they didn't have a way of dealing with their sins. They knew how to deal with their sins. But that was sin covered, not sin removed. So God is telling them, change your mind concerning how it has been done all this while. That's the repentance he was talking about. You cannot repent from your sins. Because your sins have just a problem. Your sins need to be removed. You need to change your mind concerning how it has been dealt with over the years. Now God has provided a lamb who is without blemish, who has shed his blood to remove all your sins. That's the repentance he was talking about. Please, you understand? There's repentance for Christians. Paul did not preach forgiveness of sins to Christians. He preached repentance from sin for Christians. Because as a Christian, you need to repent, change your mind about the wrong that you are doing. So that's another thing. I don't know if you get it. Paul never spoke about forgiveness of sins. You can check. And he wrote 2 out of 3 of the letters. But he never spoke about forgiveness of sins. The guy who slept with his mother-in-law, he told him he should change his mind. Change your mind about what you... Recognize that what you have done is wrong so that you can be healed. So that you can be delivered from all the demonic things that are coming into your life. Hey. Are you seeing it? This is what Peter preached. Let me show you more. Can I show you more? Yes. Acts chapter 5. Let's read from verse 29. This is another message that Peter preached. But Peter and the apostles replied, we must obey God rather than any human authority. Next verse. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead after you killed him by hanging him on a cross. Then God put him in the place of honor at his right hand as prince and savior. This is the savior. Savior of all. Savior of all men. To remove their sins. He did this so that the people of Israel would repent of their sins and be what? And be forgiven. I don't think they're seeing it. Repent from their sins and be forgiven. That's what they preach though. King James, verse 31. Him, Jesus, has God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. The word forgiveness of sins is aphesis. It means to remove sin. That's what it means. Have you heard of redemption? What is redemption? Colossians 1, verse 13. What is redemption? Verse 14, rather. Look at this. It says, in Jesus, we have what? Which is the forgiveness of sins. Redemption is equal to what? Forgiveness of sins. Please, you understand? So those who are redeemed, that those whose sins have been forgiven. Redemption means forgiveness of sins. And we have redemption in Christ. If you are in Christ, redemption has come. Sin has been removed. So you are not a sinner. You do a lot of foolish things, but you are not a sinner. Grow up in Christ. The more you grow up in Christ, the more of these things will follow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hello. Hallelujah. That's a message God has sent us to preach. Peter preached forgiveness of sins. Sins have been forgiven. Receive him. You are free. Paul also preached it. Acts chapter 13. Wow. So let's preach Jesus Christ. What do you think? It's nice. Okay, let me show you one last one that Peter preached. Acts chapter 10, verse 42. You remember Cornelius? I'm closing you. Do you believe I'm closing? Acts chapter 10, verse 42. Let's read King James. Peter is preaching in Cornelius' house. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believes in him shall receive what? Remission of sins. Have you seen it? Anyone who believes in Jesus should receive what? Remission of sins. That is the message that was preached. And when he said, as soon as he said, anyone who believes in him should receive remission of sins, the Holy Ghost went into action. Okay, next verse. While Peter yet spake these words, when Peter mentioned remission of sins, the Holy Ghost could not wait to embrace the people. he embraced them. While Peter spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. When remission of sins is preached and people know that they have been forgiven, the Holy Spirit will go into action automatically. Healings will just break forth. People's life will just change. Transformations will just happen just by preaching the reality that Jesus, the blood of Jesus, what can wash away your sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is what wipes away your sin. Yeah. So when that is shaking that cup like that on the stage, he's talking about remission of sins. Come to Jesus and all your sins will be forgiven. And people know that they are sinned. That's why I ask you, how many of you have stolen something? You see people, how many of us slept with someone's wife? How many of you have done this? You agree that you are a sinner? Okay. I'm here with good news. I'm here with good news. Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, has come with his blood to wash away your sins. Come to him and your sins will be washed away. Have you seen people rushing to go and receive? They rush like that to go. It's a simple message. People rush. You don't need to complain. Don't talk about anything. Let people realize that they have sinned. Because people don't know that they are sinners. They should know. And they will change. Then the Spirit will work. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 13, verse 36. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm closing. This is my last but one verse. Do you believe it? Or you don't believe it? I know you are tired. You've done well. Clap for yourself. Clap for yourself. You've done very well. So this is Paul preaching. These are the first messages of Paul. He says, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on asleep or died and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he, whom God raised again, saw no corruption. He's talking about Jesus. Next verse. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus, is preached unto you what? Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. That's what they preached. Next verse. And by him, all that believe are justified or made righteous from all things from which they could not be made righteous by the law of Moses. So the gospel is actually two-sided. I preached one side. I didn't touch the other side. The gospel of Jesus Christ is two-sided. The first side is sin forgiven. The other side is righteousness made available. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to all them that believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, okay, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the revelation of the righteousness of God, which is not by works, but by believing in Jesus Christ. You believe in Jesus Christ, you are made right with God. That's why you can pray in your bathroom. You couldn't have done that before. Because you are now righteous, you have right standing with God, you can pray anywhere. That's why we can pray here. This place would have been an unholy place to pray. The only place to pray would have been in Jerusalem, where I had been anointed and had been dedicated to God. That's the only place we would have gone. But we are here. We can pray and have miracles happen here. Because we are now the righteousness of God. So we can talk to God anywhere in the world. That's why it's like that. That's why it's like that. And Jesus is the one who made it possible. He was made sin who knew no sin, so that you and I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can go call upon God anywhere and he will answer me. Who made that possible? Jesus made it possible. Jesus made it possible. Are you seeing it? Yes. Paul preached it. And Paul's commission in Acts chapter 26, verse 18, Jesus told him, what did you preach? Acts 26, verse 18. He told him, I'm sending you to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, so that they may receive what? Hello? So that they may receive what? They may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Jesus told him, go and preach to them forgiveness of sins. Your sins are forgiven. Go and announce that people's sins are forgiven. Nobody needs to go to hell. Because Jesus has sacrificed himself. The Lamb of God has been sacrificed. Sin has been removed. Now we are the righteousness of God. Do you want to be the righteousness of God? You see people coming to receive salvation. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ, which he has sent us to preach to the ends of the world. It is the gospel that God sponsors. You talk about his son, he will sponsor you. You don't talk about his son, you'll be in lack. I told you, Paul put a double curse on it. Anyone who preaches any other thing, apart from Jesus Christ and him crucified, he says, let him be accursed.
Yeah.
I say it, even if an angel should show up and tell you that salvation comes by any other way, apart from believing in Jesus Christ, because the Jews were preaching that salvation was by the law, keeping the law. He said, no, it's not like that. That though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed.
Yeah.
The next verse. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have heard, you have received, let him be accursed. So there are a lot of people who are accursed moving around. Preachers who are accursed because they don't talk about Jesus Christ and him crucified. They don't talk about the forgiveness of sins. They don't talk about what we have been made. They don't talk about, they are not interested. That's why they are not prospering. They don't even know. There's a double curse on those who don't preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. Jesus Christ and him. Everything you can talk about. Christ is the wisdom of God. And Christ is the power of God. There's nothing else you should look for. Only Jesus. Say only Jesus. Only Jesus. Hallelujah. Rise up and thank God for what I shared with you. Oh, hallelujah. Can we just love Jesus for who he is? I think God has said a lot of things. Now you know who he is a bit more. Thank him for his great sacrifice. Thank him for redemption. Thank him for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Everything started with the cross. It was at the cross that his blood was shed. He was pierced so that you be healed. He was crushed so that you will not be crushed. He was crucified so that you will be allowed to go free. He paid for the wages of sin so that you and I can stand as his righteousness. Thank him. Thank him. Can you sing that song? Is anybody here who can sing that song?
His beloved and his redeemed.
Thank him. Thank him. Lift up your hand and just worship him in a minute. Thank him for redemption. Thank you for redemption, Lord. Thank you for salvation, Lord. Thank you for the precious blood of Jesus. The precious blood of Jesus. Blood power, your blood power, your precious blood. We are grateful.
And I will worship.
We are grateful.
We are thankful.
We are grateful. We are thankful. Sing the first verse. me, look at me, look at me, look at me. Wow. Away from your sin. The one who humbled himself and took pains and was crushed on your behalf. The one upon whom all your sins and all your sickness and all your poverty and all your shame. The Bible says that he was bruised to the point that he had so much shame. They crucified him stark naked, put him to shame so that you would not be put to shame. Look at all your errors. You should be ashamed moving around. Covered your multitude of sins because of the sacrifice. When I say you should shout to him, give him your best. Give him your best.
Just thinking, I mean, for me, I think it's so emotional. We thought we knew. Are you surprised like me? I mean, Charlie, goodness. I think we should thank him small. We are closing, but thank him. Just thank Jesus. I mean, I don't know. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for taking our shame and our... Thank you for forgiveness of sin. Thank you for taking it away. Thank you for lifting up our heads. Thank you. Thank you. We're so grateful. We're so grateful. Thank you so much. Oh, thank you. Hallelujah. Bishop Mike, what a word. This one had to come. We needed it. I said we needed it. Oh, we needed it. I wonder what we have been preaching till now. My goodness, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Thank you for expounding it in another way. Yeah. I think we have got some vim, Bisa. Me, I'm not even thinking about the evangelism yet. It's for myself. Yeah. Are you there? Or you don't agree with me. The way you are looking at me, you are just, yeah. It's like, hey. So without him, would have been walking around naked. Hey. Your sins, they would have written all. He has taken it away. Jesus.